When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be,' God declares, 'that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" All right. Feasts. Feasts and more feasts is what we're going to talk about here this morning. What do you think of when you hear the word feast? Okay, I think of food and drink as well. And it reminded me when I was thinking of this, this past week, I was reminded of a church potluck. Does anybody remember the way potlucks used to be in Lutheran churches? Oh man, they were amazing. And so I was a pastor's kid, and of course I had to go to all of them. And so I liked it. And I was thinking of one potluck in particular. One of the amazing things about potlucks is there would be 1 8-foot table, maybe even two, of just homemade desserts. Does anybody remember that? Well, at this particular one I was thinking of, my dad is the pastor, and it was in Iowa, where I grew up, and everybody, you know, was getting ready. People were in line, getting their food trays, and were filling up with stuff. And then at this church, the fellowship hall was in the basement. At this moment, a bat started flying around in that basement. And I remember, of course, people shrieking and screaming, people diving under tables. And then I also remember one of the trustees of that church, Dick Edwards, grabbing a food tray and going and getting the bat and whacking that bat, and it goes flying across the dessert table. Did that stop me from getting desserts, though? No. But that was quite the potluck. It was a feast with entertainment. And a lot of times at these feasts that we have, there is entertainment. And so this text that I just read to you, those 21 verses, is a feast of sorts because there's so much in these 21 verses, with very important details to really help us understand the whole Bible as one a little bit more. You see, God appointed certain feasts for his people to celebrate. He did that so that they would not forget how he was always with them. We read in Psalm 139 how God is with us no matter where we are. Wherever the Israelites were, God was with them. How he provided for them. And he appointed these seven feasts so that they would not forget. And they could each feast then tell their children and their grandchildren and everybody what amazing things God had done for them. And I wanted to focus here on a couple feasts here this morning. And the first one is the Feast of Passover. This is probably the most well-known one. This is the one that God appointed for them to remember of what happened when they were slaves in Egypt. They had been slaves in Egypt for centuries. We're not free. And God delivers them. And the 10th plague was God was going to come in and kill the firstborn. And one of the things they were to do was to get a lamb and kill that lamb, collect its blood, and paint their doorposts with that lamb's blood. They were saved by the blood of the lamb, literally, on that first Passover. Because the angel of death, when it saw the lamb's blood on doorposts, it would pass over. So you might be thinking, so what? Well, let's fast forward to AD. That was BC, way back in Exodus, the beginning of the book of Exodus. And on the scene is Jesus. The day of Passover, when the lambs would be slaughtered, guess what day that was on Holy Week? It was Good Friday when Jesus died on the cross. 1 Corinthians 5:7, I have it up on the screen. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Leaven here is referring to sin. Because of the Passover lamb being slaughtered, Jesus, we are as if we are now unleavened. Jesus is indeed the Lamb of God who delivered us from slavery, so to speak. Slave to sin, to death, to the power of the devil, he has set us free. Just like God set his people free in Exodus with the blood of the Lamb, we too have been set free with the blood of the Lamb. And so now we go to a different feast, the Feast of First Fruits. This was another one that was commanded by God. And this one was supposed to be on the 16th day of the first month. Passover was supposed to be on the 14th day of the first month. So you got the 14th day, the 15th day, the 16th day. And on this day, they were to bring their first fruits from the barley harvest. Their harvest started on Passover. And so they were supposed to bring their first fruits to the priest. The priest would wave a sheaf, and they would be accepted then because they brought their first fruits to the temple to the priest. So what? That's a Jewish festival. Well, guess what? The 14th day, 15th day, 16th day, the third day. What happened on the third day? Jesus rose from the grave on the Feast of First Fruits. And look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. See, this is talking about all of us who are going to die. We have been baptized into Jesus' death. He is the first one that rose. And because he rose, we too will rise. Because we're just asleep when we die. Now we get to the next one I wanted to talk about, the Feast of Weeks. This is also called Pentecost. Way back in the Old Testament, Leviticus, you can read about it, the Feast of Weeks. And this particular day happened 50 days after the Sabbath of the Passover. 50 days. So remember, Jesus rose from the grave. 50 days later is when they would celebrate the Feast of Weeks. So remember last week we talked about the ascension of Jesus. Jesus ascended back up into heaven and gave his followers a to-do list. We talked about to-do lists. And the to-do list was to go out and witness. But they would not be alone, nor are we alone, because he was going to send the Holy Spirit to give them the power to go out and witness. And this is the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, by the way, is just a Greek word that means the 50th day. And so we saw in this reading that I read here that there were people in Jerusalem at this time, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, because a good pious Jew, and now remember, at this time, they have been scattered all over. They're just not in Israel anymore. They're all over. And all these good, pious Jews from all over came back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. And there was a lot of people there. You remember all those weird names I was reading? Aren't you glad nobody had to read that reading with all those big words of places? Well, I got a map up here. This is kind of what it looked like. Remember last week, Jesus said, start in Jerusalem and then go out from there as you spread. All these people are now in Jerusalem from Egypt, from Asia, Rome, Cappadocia, Pamphylia, Mesopotamia. All those places, all these people are in Jerusalem. And it's no coincidence. This is when the Holy Spirit comes upon these people that are gathered there. In a very cool way, by the way, a very amazing way, he enters the scene with, like Hannah told the kids, with a rushing wind, fire on people's heads, something you just don't see every day, right? This is the day that the Christian church as we know it began. So all these people that are there from all these areas up here on the map started hearing the gospel in their own language. So what do you think those people did when they went back to their homes in all these areas? They started preaching the gospel. And the fire that came on that first Pentecost, no, it wasn't the first Pentecost of the Christian church, the fire that came is now starting to grow into a wildfire that is beginning in Jerusalem and is moving out. Because people were on fire for sharing the good news of Jesus. And so what? Right? So what? Well, that's really cool that that happened back then. So what does that mean for us today in 2024 here in Fort Wayne, Indiana? Well, Pentecost is all about the gift of the Holy Spirit and the spreading of the gospel. That's what it's about. That's what this day is about. Christian churches around the world are celebrating this same thing. And this commission of spreading the gospel was not just for those disciples and followers who were there that Pentecost. It's for you and me as well. We are to share the good news of Jesus in our daily walks. No matter where we go, remember, God is with us wherever we go. The Holy Spirit is with us We are not alone in doing this. After all, it was commanded by Jesus for us to do this. So do you have a relative, a friend? We talked about this last week, and it ties together perfectly with last week. Do you have a relative, a friend, a coworker who knows nothing about Jesus and could use some good news? Or maybe you know someone who used to be a Christian but has fallen away from the faith and could hear the good news again. But you know, you and I as sinners, we sometimes struggle to fulfill this charge that we have been given. Even though we have this same power of the Holy Spirit, by the way, we may not be able to speak in tongues like they did then, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we just don't fulfill our charge. We use excuses, you know, like, I don't know what to say. I don't know enough about the Bible. I'm afraid I'll say something wrong. I don't want to offend someone. Sharing the gospel is just not one of my gifts. Maybe one of those excuses hits home. But again, this is the beauty of Pentecost and why we celebrate it. This is when the Holy Spirit came. We are not alone when we're doing this. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit who works through each and every one of us when we are out and about spreading the good news. So think about it in terms of a garden. We plant seeds in a garden, right? And we can water it. Can we make it grow? Can we stand out there next to our garden and go, abracadabra, grow! Grow! No, it's not going to work that way, right? But we can set things up for it to grow. We plant the seeds and we water it. But God's the one who makes it grow. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing with the seeds that we plant out in our daily lives. The Holy Spirit can come along and make that grow. You know, Pentecost started with those flames of fire. And at that Pentecost, those apostles and first Christians really did spark a fire that turned into a wildfire, as you saw just on that map. Imagine what could happen if we really started planting seeds here. I got another map. This is a map of Fort Wayne. We start here at Promise. You know, we work our way out. There's New Haven, there's Hoagland, there's Zanesville, there's Wallen, there's Huntertown, there's Grable, there's Harlan, Leo, Cedarville. And then as it starts to grow from there, the next map here, Fort Wayne, it can move out to Detroit, Grand Rapids, Milwaukee, Chicago, Indianapolis. And then as it grows from there, it grows to the rest of America. And then it spreads to other countries. And this is a wildfire that's been going since that first Pentecost with the flames of fire. And there's nothing that's going to stop it. And so may we not lose that spark. Let's continue to plant those seeds and start those fires in a good way. You know, we're talking about feasts here. I wanted to close with one other feast, which happens to be in Revelation. I ended last week with a passage from Revelation, and this one as well. This is, and I got a picture up here, the marriage feast of the Lamb. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, that's us, the Christian church, has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And we talk about this when we give those that are baptized that white cloth, symbolizing this fine linen, this white robe that we wear because of what Jesus did for us. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. This is a picture of all kinds of people at a very large table with all kinds of food. Better than those church potlucks. Better than anything else. We will celebrate together with all those that have gone before us. We will celebrate the feast of all feasts on that day. And it is in his name. Amen.